I'm going to give a topical sermon today, and the sermon that I'm going to give is from the book of Acts, chapter 24, and the topic that I would give today is called Looking for Convenient Times. Looking for Convenient Times. And if you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 24. We see here the background is Paul is defending his case with Felix. And I'm going to take only verse 24 and 25 here. And after some days, Felix, with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and he said, "Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you." Now, here we see Apostle Paul defending himself. Basically, he's giving a sermon to Felix. And he is proclaiming the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to Felix. Now, Felix, his full name is Marcus Antonius Felix. If you read the history, you will see his name is Marcus Antonius Felix. And also, who is Felix? I'm not going to go through a lot of theology here today, but this is going to be more practical type of a sermon. Felix was a slave before. According to Josephus, he was a slave and he was freed from Claudius, the emperor. His wife, of course, the Bible says Drusilla was Jewish. And Drusilla was the daughter of Herod Agrippa. And now if you see here the case, Paul is in front of Felix. Paul is going through the gospel. He is basically witnessing to Felix. And Paul knows his time may be near, but before that, he is taking the opportunity to witness in proclaiming the gospel to Felix. Now, here we see, of course, Felix is the governor here. And here we see, what did Felix say? He heard what Paul said. Alright? Then verse 25 says here, and he reasoned about righteousness as self-control. And Paul is the one who reasoned as righteousness, self-control, and coming judgment. And Felix was alarmed. He was alarmed. The word alarmed there in Greek is terrified. It means, really speaking, frightened. He was terrified and frightened. How many people, when we preach the gospel, we preach the coming wrath of God? That word terrified or frightened and alarmed, you get the same word in Revelation 11:13. So, if you see in context here, turn to Revelation 11:13. Revelation 11:13 says here, And at that hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell, 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the people were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. Same word, that people were terrified. Okay? Because they saw the earthquake, people, so many thousands died. It's the same word here in Greek, where Felix, when he heard about the coming judgment, the wrath of God, in the gospel, you cannot separate the gospel without the judgment. You cannot separate the gospel without cutting the edges of the wrath of God. You cannot compromise the gospel. Gospel is a good news. Good news of what? Because of the bad news. What? Because we are sinners, the wrath of God is going to come. How can we flee from the wrath of God? That is the gospel, when you present the gospel. And when Felix heard about the gospel, he was terrified, he was alarmed, he was scared, was frightened. How many times we preach the gospel to people and they get terrified? How many times when I give a sermon from here, from the pulpit, people in the congregation are terrified. They get alarmed, they get scared. But soon after that, after the sermon, Felix said, "No, Paul, not now. I'm really terrified. I'm scared, but not now. Maybe when the time comes, I will think about the Lord. Not now. I'll just wait for the good timing that I can serve the Lord. I wait for the timing, opportunity comes that I can trust in God. But not right now." That's the message that I'm going to give. How many times the sinners, many times, they hear the gospel, and a lot of times they delay. They are looking for convenient times. A lot of times it's the youth. You know, how many times young people say that, you know, when I get older, maybe that's the time I will think about spiritual things. But not right now. Because right now the youthful vanities are more important to me. Right now it's I'm enjoying the delights of this world. So when I get older, that's the time probably I will think about the Lord. You know, Felix was no youth. So this sermon is not for youth. Sermon is for everybody. And anybody who has black hair or white hair, anybody, whether you're older or young, this sermon is applied to all the people. How many times this present time, even when we go out witnessing, how many times when we go out witnessing and knock on the doors, people come and tell, "I'm sorry, but I'm busy. Maybe you can come on another time." Well, not now. Or we tell about the gospel, about the Lord Jesus Christ, "Well, it's okay, it's good. You know, right now I'm busy, maybe on another time." It's the same situation with Felix. That people are busy at work. People are busy in the house. They are busy in the garden. They are busy in their car. They are busy with their dog. They are busy with their cat. But no opportunity for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're looking for more. They're busy in all the other things, but when it comes to the spiritual matters, they are waiting for more convenient times. But when all the other things, they have the time. For the cat and the dog and for the car and the house and everything else, they have the time. But not for the Lord. People are busy with their family. Of course, they have time for the family, they have time for vacation, they have time for pleasures. They have time for everything else. But when it comes to the spiritual matters, they will say, "I'll wait for the right time, for the most convenient time." Now, when you really, let us look this from a spiritual perspective, okay? And see how, from a spiritual perspective, how we are going to see this. This is very important. The first thing you see is when people are waiting, looking for the convenient time to trust in the Lord, to believe in the Lord, or even to serve the Lord. It shows their stupidity. Yeah. It shows their stupidity. because basically they are, you know, Felix heard about the gospel and he was terrified. But at the end, it just went away. That frightening went away. After the sermon, it just went away. And it shows that they are senseless of a real danger that is going to come. They have no sense. You know, people are senseless of a real danger that is going to come. They are senseless of a wrath of God that is going to come. They are senseless of the hell that is going to come upon them. Okay, that shows their stupidity. And also, they are senseless of their need to God. They don't feel any sense of having a need to God. In a basic sense, they are senseless of the reality of God and the Bible and the Gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ. They are senseless in reality, the truth of the Word of God. The heaven and earth pass away, Jesus said, but my words will never pass away. And the second thing is, I see how people have more importance for the flesh. More importance for the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. As we see, Romans chapter 8, 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. So those who live according to the flesh, they have already set their things according to the things of the mind, on the fleshly things. Their minds are focused on the fleshly things. So that's why the spiritual things are not important to them. That's why they have all the time for the fleshly things, because their mind is always thinking about them, meditating upon them, not on the spiritual things. And also, the other thing is, you talk about God, the Bible, the Gospel, and people get bored a lot of times. But if you talk about the television, gossip, pleasures, people get excited. Why? Because the flesh, we are in the flesh, and the flesh is weak. There is a sweetness of sin. There's a sweetness of sin that is, people like it. There's a sweetness of sin that this flesh will love. Okay? So that's why there's a sweetness, honey-coated sweetness in sin. If you turn with me to Job chapter 20, verse 12. Job 20, verse 12. Job said, though evil is sweet in his mouth, though he hide it under his tongue. So there's a sweetness of evil that people hide it under their tongue, so they can keep on sucking that evil whenever they want it. See, that's why people are looking for convenient times, because right now I like my sweetness of sin. And also, if you really look at it, not only stupidity, because they don't realize the danger that is coming, that is really stupid. If they know that there's a danger coming and still they are not doing it, that is stupid. Reality. Isn't it? God's wrath is going to come. How can you flee away from the God? How can you live a holy life? And still they're saying, that's right, I'll just wait for my good timing. That's stupid. People will be running to God. They will be flocking to hear the word of God if they have a sense of feeling that the wrath is coming. And the other thing is, they trust in their self-confidence. And they trust in their wisdom, in their own self-confidence. Because they hear the gospel, but then later on, alright, I'll wait for the good timing. That means they're trusting in their own self-confidence. And the last thing is, what I see here is deception. They're deceived. Why are they stupid? Because they are deceived. Just like how Eve was deceived by the serpent, the devil in his craftiness can deceive the mind of people. They can be alarmed of a sermon. They can be terrified. But when it comes to application, the devil is very good at it. He doesn't want people to have obedience. He can give a good knowledge of the scriptures. He can give much knowledge of what is going to happen. But when it comes to obedience, he doesn't want people to act on what they have heard on the gospel. Because that's, if he can do that, he has won victory. Because he has accomplished his task. That's why the devil, that's why, how many people know the scripture like 1 Corinthians 6:9? 1 Corinthians 6:9. Which says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Then Paul goes on to say, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So don't be deceived. Don't compromise with these things. It's okay for me to do this. It's alright. Because so and so is doing it. Do not be deceived. And the worst thing is, not only they say that they will wait, they will look for the convenient time. They will say, they will look for the convenient time to believe and trust in the Lord or to serve the Lord, but they continue to sin. They keep on sinning. They keep on compromising. They keep on sinning and sinning against God. They are continuing to sin. Now, continuing to sin, when you have heard the gospel and then you compromise and say, no, not now, later, then you continue to sin, that's a direct disobedience to God. It's a direct disobedience to God. That means they have determined to go their way. They have made up their mind that they are going their way. They live, just imagine, that means they are living at risk, aren't they? When God says this, okay, if you hear His voice, now, do not harden your heart. So do not postpone regarding spiritual things. It's today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. But still, if they are always determining to go their way because of continual sin, they're living at great risk. That means there's a dreadful risk. What am I mean by they're living at real risk? They might say, I'm not really living in risk, but you know, I got a nice house, I got a nice car, what kind of risk do I have? I'm good with the police, the governor, and so everybody else, I don't harm people, you know, everybody is kind of cool with me. I have absolutely no risk. You don't know what time you will die. We are talking spiritual things here, not physical things, not fleshly things. You don't know what time God will require of your soul. That is a great grace. Just like Jonathan Edwards said, people are living in a very crusty piece of plank. Any time that can fall, and underneath there's a fire. So, you don't know what time. Now, let us see more application here. Let's all take the warning here. What a horrible way to live in disobedience to God. It's a horrible thing for us to live in the disobedience to God. Every day we are delaying, postponing, procrastinating. And how Jesus, you don't know, it's a great risk. Jesus said, thou fool, you know how the rich man said, look, I have built all this, these bonds are mine and everything, I have acquired all this wealth, and he was very proud about himself. How Jesus said, you fool, but this night you will die and your soul will have to answer to me. That's a paraphrase. Okay? Your soul will have to answer to me. And you never postpone your work, do you? You're very committed to your work, basically. You're very committed to your wife, to your husband, to other people. You are very honorable to them. You're very respectful to them. And you're extremely committed to your work. And when it comes to even the pleasures of sin, you're very committed to them. You don't miss your best TV programs or the things that you like. You are very committed to anything what you do, you are committed. And you are a diligent person when it comes to those things. When it comes to the appetites of the flesh, you put them as there's so much commitment and priority. Then why delay what is the most important? The spiritual. What is the most important? The spiritual things for the soul. Why delay those things? Jesus said, John chapter 6 verse 27, labor not for the meat that perishes, but the most important thing is labor for that will never perishes, but the word of God that can give everlasting life. Think about it. Just think about it. As Felix said, he was waiting for a better opportunity to believe and trust in God. And many people are waiting for a better opportunity or a convenient time to serve the Lord. When I finish all this, then I can serve the Lord. When I, you know, they have all these lists or whatever like that, I will serve the Lord when I finish this, or when I'm done with this, or when I'm feeling good, you know. When I feel, they serve the Lord. But think about it, that convenient time will never come. No, it won't come. Because if you're busy now, you're going to get busier tomorrow. You're going to be more busier there. You're going to be even busier next month. Because the devil and this world, we are living in a rat race, things are going to come, and that convenient time will never, ever come. Then it will be too late. Not only that, when you say that you're waiting for a convenient time, and you're always postponing, your heart, you're already continuing to sin against God. Your heart is going to get harder and harder and harder. Because the more you hear the message of the gospel, you become used to it. you become used to the terrifying words, the hell and the wrath of God and the lake of fire. Your heart becomes used to it. And you say, yeah, I heard this. I know. And there's no reality in there to you. There's no real sense to you. And if you become used to it, that means your heart has become numb. You know, when something becomes numb because there's so much fat over it, you don't feel it when there's so much fat. The fat of sin, the grease of sin, the cholesterol of sin, and all these things, you don't feel it. And your heart becomes harder and harder. At the same time, think about it, as you keep on sinning against God, procrastinating, God's anger towards you is building up every single day. It's increasing at the same time. That means God's wrath is getting more and more built up. That's what happened as we read Lamentations. The children of Israel, they heard the gospel from Jeremiah. Jeremiah's whole life, since he was a youth, he was preaching for people to repent of their sins. And these people at that time, Jeremiah was preaching for who? For Israel or for Judah? Anybody know? Test your knowledge here. He was preaching for Judah. Israel is already conquered by the Syrians. So here he was preaching for Judah. Huh? So what happened? They heard the gospel. But people were very comfortable in their religion. You know the book of Jeremiah, and the people even realize, what judgment? There is no judgment going to come to us. We are in the temple of the Lord. Jeremiah preached on the... Then God told Jeremiah, don't go to the temple and preach inside the temple, but go to the parking lot of the temple and preach to the people who are entering the temple, saying that you are trusting in what? In the temple of the Lord. In the temple of the Lord. In the temple of the Lord. You're trusting in religion. You heard about it, but you don't repent. Jesus said there was a tower that fell during the time of Jesus, right? And a lot of people died. And people asked, disciples asked Jesus, what did they do? What did they deserve to die, these innocent people, to die? What was the answer of Jesus? Unless you repent, you will also perish. That is the answer. That's the answer what Jeremiah was telling, preaching. Repent. Don't trust in what you know. But God wants you to repent in your actions. The book of Jeremiah is always talking to repent of your actions. To the backslidden Judah. What happened? They did not repent. They believed in false prophets. False prophets prophesied in what? All the peace that is going to come. False prophets prophesied to the flesh that is good for their flesh. And they believed in the false prophet. So they persecuted Jeremiah for preaching the good. But when God sent judgment, we saw what happened in Lamentation. The beautiful, the golden Judah was turned into ashes. God became like their enemy because they did not repent. They heard the gospel, but they were disobedient. Their actions did not follow what they have heard. And here, that's the cause, that's the result of saying, not now, but tomorrow, day after. Also, many have lamented in their deathbeds at the end and saying, I wish, when they're just about to die, they think about most of the people, they think about God. And they say, you know what? I should have taken more concern about my soul, more spiritual things. And how many people lament in the deathbed? It's too late. You know, how many people, you know, only, they think about God only when there is in danger. That's the time people think about God. When the 9/11 happened, suddenly this nation became so spiritual. When an earthquake happens, when an aircraft goes down, everybody is talking about prayer now. Everybody is thinking about God. You know, people become spiritual when there is danger. When the boat is sinking, when the ship is sinking, captain will ask, what else shall we do? Only to pray? That's the only option we have now. So, that's the, you know, only time people think about God. And it should be just the opposite. You know, some people say, well, you know, I'm a good person. I don't really sin. I don't take drugs. I don't cheat. I don't lie. You know, I don't drink. I'm pretty good. As the sins of commission, what about sins of omission? As sins of commission and sins of omission. So omission is what you are not doing for the Lord. The Bible tells you that Jesus said man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Are you getting into the word of God? Are you living in the word of God? Are you praying daily? The Bible says we need to pray. We are commanded to pray. We are commanded to love the Lord with all our heart, mind and soul. We are commanded to preach the gospel. We are commanded to witness. We are commanded to serve Him. What about them? So it's so easy to say, I'm a good person, but what about sins of omission? That's a sin if you don't do that. It is a sin. So here, people are so much concerned about the other things, and if priorities are not right, totally flips, you know, upside down. But the Bible says, first seek what? The kingdom of God. It's the most important thing. And Paul said, if you don't love the Lord, it'd be an anathema, curse. Psalm 27 verse 4, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. One thing that I have seek after. Wow. That is the most important thing. Priority is to what? To ask the Lord to dwell in the temple of the Lord. Wow. To dwell in His word. Who is the temple of the Lord today? Huh? You are called the temple of the Lord. And if you are called the temple of the Lord, what does the people in the temple do? Do the things of the Lord. Yeah. If you are called the temple of the Lord, the people in the temple, they don't get involved in the fleshly stuff because you are separated unto the Lord to serve the Lord. And remember Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10 verse 42. It's the same word here, Luke 10:42. How Martha came and told Jesus, verse 40, she was distracted about much things, and she went up to Him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to come and help me. And the Lord answered her and said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious of many, you're anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing, just like how we saw in the book of Psalms, one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, and which will not be taken from her. What did Mary do? Mary was at the feet of the Lord, absorbing the word which came from the precious mother of our Lord Jesus. How many sermons have you attended? Count the number of sermons that you have attended. Yet, you don't want to. Many have still said, no, not now. I wait for a convenient time after attending so many, many sermons, waiting for a more opportune time. And how many sermons you have attended, and are you going to continue and continue and continue in saying, no, I'll wait for the right time? Except you repent, you will perish also. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Satan is a great deceiver. Many people are listening to the voice of Satan. And Satan can communicate, you know, through your emotions, your feelings, whatever like that. And you put priorities upon that, but not according to the word of God. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says, Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Here we see a warning from God. A warning is God can forgive our sins and cleanse these terrible, darling sins with His precious blood and make us as white as wool. And we can jump for joy. We can glorify God. Our soul will love to serve Him. And if I don't serve Him, I'll feel the most miserable person on the face of the earth. And if I do serve Him, I would love Him. I would love to serve Him, and it's my joy and pleasure to serve Him. And there are a lot of things that we need to do. Because the question is, are you prepared to meet your Lord? Are you prepared to meet the Lord? That is the question. Let's pray.